Welcome to the Sixers Mania Podcast. I'm your host, Will Coffrin. Joining me, per usual at this point, Justin Maltz, Sixers Mania. How you doing, buddy?
We're back, man. We're doing all right. We're hanging in there, just as the Sixers are hanging in there. But yeah, not feeling the best. Just, you know, as a viewer of games and a watcher of Sixers basketball, unfortunately, it's not been a ton of fun as of late, but hanging in there, I guess, to say the least.
Yeah, of course, we just got back from the All-Star break, so there's only been two games since we last did a pod, I believe, because I believe we did one right before the All-Star break, and we had some good a good win over the Cavs, you know, close games against the Heat, and another good win against the Cavs. Like, there were some bright spots pre-All-Star break. We got smoked by the Knicks, of course, but just two absolute blowouts. Not granted, it's teams atop the East, the Bucks and the Celtics, and of course, no Embiid, so grain of salt, so like... I mean, well, I'll get your reaction, but I mean, for me, I don't really care. Not to bury the lead, this team's very dependent on Embiid, and that is just so evident. And that's not a bad thing, because you should build your team around your best player. It's just unfortunate when that best player is not there. So, anyway, what are your thoughts?
I mean, like you said, I mean, it's very clear the effect that Embiid has, and we knew this. We knew this. No one's shocked by this. Everyone knows how dominant, and I mean, he has an MVP, right? There's a reason, because he's that elite. And when you take him off the team, and it's also credit to him and his work to really kind of hide the deficiencies of the other players on the court, right? Obviously, Tyrese Maxey's great. Tobias Harris, which we'll get into, has been the opposite of great. There's so many words to describe him, but the opposite.
Good Lord.
good Lord is right. But it's been tough, man, without Embiid. I mean, you take a guy that can basically get any bucket he wants at any point in the game, and you take that off the team, you're going to be different, clearly. And then defensively, the paint's wide open. Center problems are obvious, you know, but Paul Reed and Bamba, they know going into obviously the season, they're not starters. There's a reason, because they're, you know, backing up an MVP caliber center in this league, which is rare. And it's tough, man. It's just that this is the reality that you're stuck with is, hey, you take a guy out that does so much on both ends, you're seeing it play out in real time. And everyone's like, oh, now we're not good. It's like, you're not good because you're missing. It sounds simple, but you're seeing it play out. And it's so obvious and so crazy to me how people don't understand how valuable he really is.
Yeah. I know, especially on a Sixers podcast, we're all aware of how great Embiid is, but it really truly is defensively. He cleans up everyone's mistakes. And you could argue he's actually a better offensive player than a defensive player, which is just insane because he averages 35 and 11 and 6. He cleans up everything on the defensive end. And on offense, he just commands so much attention for a guy like Maxey, who you can't just be like, go ahead, get a bucket, you know. As much as I love Tyrese Maxey, and I do think he's better than James Harden for several reasons than we had. Despite of the teammates Embiid has had, I'm just going to go off the top of my head, between Simmons, Butler, and Harden, he is the least able to like run the show, I would say, despite the fact that I do think he's better than Harden. And obviously Ben is, I'm not going to do a referendum on Ben. I think Ben was incredible in his time here, but he obviously had his flaws. So like, that's not a diss on Maxey. It's just that he's not the number one guy, and he was awesome against Boston, for what it's worth, like just incredible. It's just that everyone else kind of let it down. He's been impressive. Yeah.
No, I would agree with that. I mean, obviously James Harden, like you said, I mean, Tyrese Maxey has proven that he's a better player than James Harden, clearly. But the playmaking, like you said, when you're top tier and your superstar and player and Embiid is out, for Maxey to run the show, which, you know, he certainly has held his own and stepped up and had some big
games.
He's
an all-star. He's great. He's just not.
Like you said, I mean, it's a team sport. You're not going to win with one guy. You know, he's not LeBron.
It's not Jamal Murray. Like, you know, Murray, awesome off of Jokic. He's been incredible in the playoffs, like immensely valuable, but he's never been an all-star. Tyrese Maxey, it's same. And Maxey has been an all-star. I feel like that's...
obvious, but it's true. It's true. And people understand.
Well, I think people don't realize that about Maxey. I think a lot of people would say, like, oh my God, he's so great. Because I've seen, especially on your guys' posts on Sixers Mania, you know, I've seen people talking about the center situation. And, like, I don't love Paul Reed like others, but he's not the problem. Neither is Mo Bamba. as their flaws have, they're backup centers, and they're supposed to be playing 10 minutes a game at most, and they're have to combine for 48 minutes at center. So yeah, there's going to be issues there, and yes, there's things they can try out, but I don't think our issue is another body. Like, you know, and even if we had Drummond, I know they tried trading for him, and I do think Drummond's an upgrade over both those guys. I don't think we would have won the Bucks game or the Celtics game with Andre Drummond over those guys. I don't know what you think.
I agree. I agree completely. It's not more bodies. Mo Bamba is a body. He's fine. He's out there. He's doing. Yes, Drummond's a better rebounder.
And Bamba had a great game yesterday.
Bamba had a good game. Played fine. Like, so that's the problem. Isn't bodies? It's talent, and they lack that. That's the issue. It's scoring. It's just having top tier talent. If you look at Boston, yes, is it the best starting five in the league? Yes, it's the best team in the league record wise. And just, I think they're going to win the finals.
There's no shame in losing to Boston. And
there's no shame in losing.
Kept it close, even though it didn't really feel close. Like, it was, it's whatever they did.
But yeah, all the top teams have star powers. If I look at the Sixers and you take Embiid off, there's literally one guy. It's just Tyrese Maxey. The rest are all, they're all role players. It's Tyrese Maxey, who is an all star level. There's tiers to it, obviously, and the rest of the team is role players. Boston, two elite players, you know, borderline all-star in Jrue Holiday, whatever, and then role players around, and same thing with Porzingis. You can
say
all-star.
Yeah, they're
just
great fits, you know.
There's just great fits. There's perfect fits. They're high-level, they're high-caliber players. It's not, you know, okay, I love Buddy Hield, but Buddy Hield, he's reached his ceiling. He's a catch-and-shoot, nice role player, exactly the guy you want to fit with a superstar like Joel Embiid, but you take him off the court, now you're seeing the team and the deficiencies all over the place.
Yeah, and especially in a game where Buddy Hield was not very good against the Celtics. And he's had a couple of bad games, but once again, that's what happens with shooters. If he was a 50% high-volume three-point shooter, we'd be talking about Buddy Hield as one of the greatest players of all time. He just isn't. There's not many guys like that. So he's not Klay Thompson. He's Buddy Hield. Prime Klay.
Correct.
Of course. So, you know, like I said, nothing really there. I do want to do a quick aside on this is barely Sixers related, but Embiid and the MVP race. Like, I know we're Sixers fans, so we're biased, but I've seen Nuggets fans talking about this too, which, granted, maybe they enjoyed hating it. Like, the MVP race is just so boring. Like, people talking about these MVPs are just not as fun. And it's not because Jokic is running away with it necessarily, though I do think I'd probably give him the MVP. Either that or Shea. I'd have to really dig deep into it. But where I'm going with all this, not only is it boring without Embiid, which sucks, but and I do think he's immensely better than some of these other guys. Like, Jason Tatum is essentially doing, and company, like the media is doing it too. They're essentially doing what they thought Embiid did last year. I'm not saying Embiid was obviously, like, pissed about the MVP, but he also rightfully deserved MVPs in the past. Tatum, I don't know if you've seen this, like, he and others are bitching that he's not in the MVP discussion, despite the fact that he clearly should not be in the MVP discussion. Great player. I love Jason Tatum. If he weren't a Celtic, I would, talking nonstop about him. Nonetheless, he's not Shea, and this year he's not Shea, and he's not Jokic. I just think it's crazy. I don't know. What do you think about the whole discussion of that? Like, I don't know, like, Draymond's, like, they're, like, talking about how, like, oh, what, he has playoff success, why are we holding this against him? Like, it just seems so dumb to me.
Yeah, no, I mean, once again, it goes back to, it's a regular season award, and it's this season. It's not previous seasons. It's not your reputation as a player. I mean, Embiid was putting up historic numbers, and he was, you know, neck and neck, if not ahead, you know, of Jokic before he got injured. Jokic putting up great numbers. Shea putting up phenomenal numbers. I mean, you know, MVP caliber numbers, you know, most improved. He's all over the place. I love Shea's game. Giannis is always in the mix there, but Tatum, number wise, I mean,
I just think he's like the fifth guy,
half of the year.
Like, yeah, or something like that. Like, he's not, I think it should be Jokic or Shea, and then I think you could throw in, like, Luka there.
Well, I'm looking at the rankings too, and they have it week by week on NBA.com. Like, the first week of the season, or whatever, week three when they started counting, it was Jokic in order. Jokic, Embiid, Luka, Tatum was four, and then Shea. And then Tatum dropped off the list completely from week six all the way to week 14. Then, and we're in week 17 now of the season, week 14, Tatum appeared again at five.
Yeah.
Right before Embiid got injured.
I just feel like, and we've talked about Boston media before, but, like, I feel like the media is just propelling Tatum in there, like, in a way, which is so funny because Embiid just kept getting clowned on Twitter last year. And I do think Embiid deserved last year, and I think he deserved the other years too. Like, I know I'm a Sixers fan, so it's biased to take that with a grain of salt, but, like, nonetheless, like, you know, I still think it was pretty objectively. Like, I think objectively, I don't know how you can say, I know the Celtics are really good, and Tatum is their best player. No one's disputing that.
Yeah.
But what these other guys are doing, just way more. Yeah. Like, when we go against the Celtics, I'm never like, oh my God, Jason Tatum, we just can't. Like,
yeah, no, it's fair.
Everyone else.
Yeah, I know it is. I mean, they just have such a complete team. It's right. Easy. And right. I mean, obviously Shea is like, the Thunder have a good team around him too. I don't want to say
they do, but they're also like, Chet's a rookie. He's got his issues. Yeah. They don't have a lot of bigs. Like I love Jalen Williams. He's great. Like, they have a lot of, but like, their second best player, whoever,
they're ahead of schedule.
I think it's Jalen Williams, their second best player.
Jalen Williams. I saw the game last night on TNT late watching him. Yeah. He's a bucket, dude.
I love him, and I think he'll be better than Jaylen Brown. But do we think he's better than Jaylen Brown right now?
No, not yet. So that's
kind of what I mean. Is like, Shea's doing this, you know, in the conference with Jokic and Doncic.
Yeah,
and Doncic's team is not up to snuff, and like, Doncic is a distant third. I would say like Jokic and Shea.
The order right now in this week, or at least this past week, whatever it was, Jokic, Shea, Giannis, Luka, and then Tatum at five. Tatum's been at five the past like 4 weeks.
Yeah,
right,
he's not, whatever. I'm glad we had this discussion, but it's just, it amazes me how he's getting propelled in this after people clowned Embiid for an entire.
Is there names that you would have over him right now?
Over Tatum?
Yeah. I mean, obviously. I mean, there's
guys that
are like, Jalen Brunson having a great year. It's not MVP.
Jalen Brunson. I think there's a few guys. Like, I would still put Tatum above them, to be clear.
Yeah.
I think, you know, like, same thing. Donovan Mitchell's been like pretty good recently.
Yeah, I just think to extend him to five, it's like, it's really a top three.
It's
thing
a two horse race.
Yeah, it's really two. Yeah, I'm saying, but you can have kind of three guys in the mix. Yeah. If I have five, it's like, all right, keep expanding it. Okay.
Yeah, it's just, and I do think it's more boring. We're not going to spend a ton of time. But I do think we had a good discussion about it. It's just like, it seems so strange to me, is all. Anyway, worthwhile because we played the Celtics, of course. And we did just play the Bucks, and like, honestly, I do feel like, you know, as much as people make jokes about Giannis, no bag, whatever, and like, it's fun to poke fun on Giannis. He's kind of corny.
Yeah.
But like, when Giannis plays, I'm like, Jesus fucking Christ, this guy. Like, you know, he is awesome.
Yeah.
We've played
Giannis plenty with Embiid. It's to see him, you know, dominate without.
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, obviously Embiid, as we said earlier, is such a difference maker on defense. But to have Embiid not in there, I mean, you just saw Giannis just free buckets at will whenever he wanted, driving
and
paint.
I actually think Tobias did, and we're going to transition to Tobias right now. But I thought he did a fine job. Against Giannis. All right, now let's talk about benching Tobias Harris, because good Lord, that guy sucks. All right, I don't want to make this a whole referendum on
Tobias Harris.
Like, we talk about Tobias every episode about how much we dislike him, or not as a person. Can't stand watching him on the court. Terrible contract. Always been against him. You were more Tobias at one point, pro Tobias than I've ever been.
I was,
it's so weird. So he's obviously just been terrible. He hasn't been shooting threes anymore without him beat out. I had like 13-2 yesterday, and I think he was 4-15 shooting or something like that. I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but basically he's just shooting like dog shit every game. He doesn't take threes, and he had a quote yesterday, and this is where I was starting with this, or I think it was yesterday. He's like, yeah, just, you know, he's like, can't lose confidence doing all these things. Like, he's saying, I guess, the right things, but he looks like a shattered man out there. And he has for weeks. He's like, you know, I'm not going to lose my confidence. Like, what are you confident about? You're going front rim on like a baseline jumper. Like, he has been awful the last eight games, which is, you know, it's basically, I'm cherry picking and taking out he was good against Utah statistically, but the last eight games, he is shooting 39% from the field. He is, on 13.5 attempts per game. And you're like, 13.5 attempts. Well, he must be shooting some threes. He's shooting 2.9 of those are threes. He's taking like 10 mid-range jumpers a game, essentially. You know, not really getting to the line, not passing. Like, he is awful. He is so bad. And I wrote for the Sixer Sense that we should bench him. And I stand by that. Because I'll get into it. But like, do you think they should bench Tobias Harris? And all these have been without Embiid. He played well against Utah, but that was his only good game without Embiid. anyway.
Yeah. I mean, listen, at this point in the season, you know, without Embiid, I think you experiment and try different things. If the Warriors can bench Klay Thompson, who has
yeah,
multiple
we can
rings
bench
and
Tobias
is struggling,
Harris.
we
Yeah.
can absolutely bench Tobias Harris. And I feel like Nick Nurse is almost, I don't want to say leaning that way, but over the past
I don't
couple,
think he
I
is,
mean,
to be honest.
I think he took him out pretty early though to start the first, if I recall. But whatever it was.
Whatever, but still, they made a run with him at center. They did like a small ball lineup, but it wasn't due to Tobias yeah. Harris. I can tell you that much. Oh.
Yeah, no, I mean, I would love to have like, I don't know, to replace Tobias with like, you know, have Maxi Hield, Oubre, Paul Reed, and like Batum out there, whatever.
Yes, I agree. I think that's significantly
feel.
Better.
It's a better lineup, but just it, we don't need
I think
Tobias.
All those players are better than Tobias Harris. Like,
yeah, I mean, you always say, and it's true, you know, it's not conducive the way he plays to winning. And now you, without Embiid, you really, because Embiid obviously picks up the slack, now you really see it. You're like, what's this mid-range post-up? What are we doing here? That's a bad shot. And it gets, you know, amplified because, wow, now the Celtics are on a 10-0 run because Tobias doinks a mid-range and front, like you said, front rims it. I mean, it just happened consistently. It's a TNT primetime game against the Celtics, and your highest paid player makes, what, a $36 million a year?
Yep.
13? 13?
And
really?
And it's one of those, it's like, we've become so numb to it that we don't, like,
yeah.
I know everyone talks about the contract, but we become so numb to it that the national broadcast, and just in general, or just the general conversation, like, people are like, huh, who else besides Maxey's going to step up? Like, we have a guy making $40 million on the team.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's just,
yeah, but it's,
and once again, not a referendum on the contract. It was a terrible contract,
no.
Never should have been done, et cetera, et cetera. But the fact that there are so many players that were like, I have more confidence, and I know they're averaging less points, but for whatever reason, I trust that, like, I trust Buddy Hield more as a scorer. I trust
Absolutely.
Oubre more as a scorer. I trust, honestly, D'Anthony Melton when he's playing, which he suffered an injury, which we'll talk about later. But, you know,
yeah.
like
yeah.
so many of these other guys, Ricky Council, I feel more confident in right
mm-hmm.
now. He
mm-hmm.
is a two-way player. And once again, not a referendum on the contract, but
yeah.
it's a problem when that guy's doing it and he's expiring. So now I will talk about the contract. He's an expiring
yeah.
player. You don't have to worry about the politics. You're never going to trade him because he's expiring. Maybe you do a sign and trade in the offseason. I don't know.
Yeah.
But if you bench him, that shouldn't affect that. You're like, you don't have to play politics. You don't have to worry about upsetting him. He's gone in a couple of months.
Yep.
So why not
yep.
bench him? Is that's all.
I agree. And it just the way his play has been so bad, and it's tough to see. But yeah, I think they should bench him. It would be great to see that out of Nick Nurse and really kind of inspire the locker and maybe change it. Because I mean, players, obviously they understand, they look at that like, wow, okay, you know, coach is not playing games, right? I mean,
right.
you got to step up. Nick
Rule
Nurse is not
fist.
Playing games.
Yeah.
So I mean, hopefully it inspires them if they do make a change. I think it's unlikely, like you said, just the way, I don't want to say politics, but you know, it's true. It's a real thing. And obviously Tobias makes a significant amount of money to bench a guy that, you know, makes 36, or whatever it is, $40
yeah.
million. Dollars
it would definitely be a headline
bench.
To bench a guy making that much.
For sure.
You know?
For sure. And like you mentioned too, I mean, really when you think about the Sixers, I mean, it's a big two. At some point in time, it was kind of thought as a big three, obviously salary wise with, you know, Maxey doesn't make that much yet, but Maxey and Bede and Tobias was kind of, okay, those are your top three players, right? And everyone else is role players. It really is. And this season, we've seen it throughout the season, even when Embiid was playing. It's Maxey, it's Embiid, one, obviously, Maxey, and then mega drop-off to, I guess, at some point in time, it was Tobias. Now it's not even Tobias as the third best player. It's a plethora of other guys.
Yeah, it depends on your preference. It's like, I guess
yeah.
Buddy Hield because of offense would be.
Yeah, I mean,
maybe
Oubre's
my,
up there. I think I like, I'm an Oubre fan, yeah.
I'm a Batum guy. They all do radically different things. Batum is like the quiet, like if PJ Tucker was awesome, sort of deal, because he just does the right thing.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Like,
veteran.
Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, there's so many different options you could choose from. But it is, I mean, Tobias is just, he's just not up there. I mean, doesn't really do anything well. At least he kind of brings size for someone that can play on the rimmer. But like I said, I would play. I would start giving, I would reduce his minutes altogether, and I would be playing him about the same as Ricky Council until Tobias proves otherwise, to be honest. And, you know, starting, I would start those wings that we mentioned. But the other thing, and granted, Melton just got injured, so I would have suggested a three-guard lineup with Melton. But Kyle Lowry, I think, has looked really good, and we haven't really talked about him yet, so I'll get your quick thoughts. But I think he's probably the best passer on the team, and even though he's definitely kind of cooked as a scorer around the rim, he's
yeah.
just such a smart player, and he's still a fine shooter. And just a I think he's going to unlock parts of Maxey. So I don't know. What have you thought about the Kyle
Even
Lowry
though,
experience?
Even though, I will say, yeah, finishing around the rim, that his like first bucket as a Sixer was that crazy reverse. I'm sure in the Bucks game.
No,
but
for sure. He just doesn't look like he's passing out of these looks at the rim. It's like,
no, definitely. But
and maybe that's because he got elbowed in the fucking head last time he did that. But anyway.
Yeah, no, seriously. I mean, first game as a Sixer. I mean, it's on brand for the Sixers. Hey, a guy, gets injured, new guy we bring in. Gets a elbow right to the forehead. But no, I think to have a floor general out there that's also a veteran plays a huge role, and to have him come playoff time, assuming we make the playoffs, my God. At this point, but you know, come playoff time, to have Kyle Lowry out there, I think is huge. And there's going to be some big minutes and some close games down the stretch where like you're happy that you have a veteran point guard out there. I like campaign what he's brought, but Kyle Lowry, of course, brings a different aspect where it is more that typical floor general, settle everyone down, get to your spots, know exactly where to really space it out and run that play. And that's what Kyle Lowry's there for, which I think is great to have. And we haven't really had that in previous years. Yeah, Pat Bev was a veteran, but he's not really a floor general out there on defense, hustles, but it's different to have Lowry here. You can tell there's a sense of maturity when he's on the floor.
Totally agree. I think he is, once again, also think he's better than Tobias Harris, which is funny because he was absolutely like the Heat fans wanted to, and maybe that'll turn around because Heat fans did want to murder him. But I'd consider, like I said, I would start Oubre, but and Batum, but I'd also consider starting Kyle Lowry and then, you know, benching either Oubre or Batum. I think Batum should start. I don't know. I know he was coming back from injury. I don't know why he was like put into the role, because I just think he makes everyone better. And granted, you don't really need his post-entry passing when Embiid's out, but still, I loved Batum's threes
really good glue
decisions.
Guy, for sure.
Yeah, he's great. So I thought he helped out like Maxey and everyone a lot. So anyway, I don't know, but I would consider taking Tobias out of the rotation. He's just so bad. I know, one thing, I'm not going to go through it all. Yeah. We talk about it every time, but he can't keep playing like this. And it's one of those where it's like, it's kind of the harsh reality where even if Embiid comes back, you have to, part of me keeps thinking like, man, if this is the Tobias Harris we get, like we have zero shot, because it's going to be Embiid, Maxey, and like you said, like huge drop off. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, I mean, you know, Tobias, hopefully when Embiid comes back, will play a little bit better. And I mean, his role, at least mindset-wise.
Everyone should be better
with
Embiid, right?
Correct. Everyone should be better, but also pressure, just mentally, the pressure does pull off of Tobias because you get a guy like Embiid back for everyone. That's not just Toby and Maxey. And we're like, okay, now I'm the second option, I'm third, fourth, whatever. When you bring Embiid, automatic first option there, can do it all. It takes pressure off you mentally. I think they're more prepared. It just, there's a sense of like I said, maturity with Lowry out there, but just overall to have a guy like Embiid back is crucial on so many levels. So they have no chance without him, as we know.
Yeah. So let's talk about it. Just injuries in general. We mentioned the DeAnthony Melton injury, looking like he's going to, Nick Nurse, not a too promising of quote. They said it's pretty much the same injury that's kept him out for a month. So we might just go a month with without DeAnthony Melton. Of course, this just happened. So maybe we'll find out. But yeah, it feels like he's barely played. And it sucks. He was very, even when he came back, you could tell how beneficial it was to have him on the court. I'm a big DeAnthony Melton guy. I still would have considered trading him, but that's a story for another day because he is expiring. But yeah, it was it sucks to see him go out. I just limit this more. However, you know, if he comes back by playoff time, I'll be pretty happy about that. But yeah, I guess so. More minutes for Lowry, and I hopefully counsel. I hope it's not campaign. I know you talked about him, but I just don't really enjoy campaign, to be honest.
What, just as a guy off the bench, just in general, you're saying?
Yeah, and he shot very well. I just don't buy it. I don't know what to tell you.
Fair. I get it.
It's kind of how I felt about Beverly, just like on the other end. Like, I think campaign's an absolute traffic cone, and then on offense, like he has good numbers, but a lot of times he's just like taking shots from other people and like whatever. He's not, I don't need to go like so negative.
I feel like he's a guy in spurts or someone's in foul trouble or you know whatever.
Prefer to see Ricky or Turquavion Smith, to be honest.
Really? Okay, I don't think they're not going to do that, but at least in playoff time, you know, for sure. But yeah, I get your thinking there.
In the playoffs, I don't think any of them are going to play. I don't think campaign would play even if Melton's out for the playoffs, to be honest. Yeah, I think, I mean, you got Melton healed Max, I said Melton, if Melton's injured, you still have healed and Lowry. And then
healed Lowry. Interesting.
Whatever. I mean, Maxey's going to be playing.
Yeah, he's going to be playing most. I mean, like, I could see it. I could see it.
Yeah. So I don't know. Nick Nurse likes to shorten his rotation. I don't think Campaign will be playing.
And we have not received a status really update with Covington, have we? At all? I mean,
no. But it does look like he's closer to coming back than. I don't know. The reports have always been vague about Covington. Like, he was just missing games and nobody said why. I think he'll be back relatively soon. So
because I feel like that's a piece, not that Rocco's like an elite player, but I feel like that's still a 3-and-D-ish wing that can.
I think
he's good. He's solid. Yeah, right.
Oubre's really been struggling with shooting. And like, I know we kind of I still love Oubre. I know kind of like glossing over the fact that he's kind of been chucking up some inefficient looks, but like, I actually, despite the fact that you might consider him like a, not you specifically, but general NBA considers him as kind of like a dumb, like just scorer. I actually think like his quick decision making is really useful, even if it
especially on our team with Tobias.
Right, exactly. It's just like, maybe it's just refreshing to see, but he attacks the rim, whatever. Like, I love Oubre. Forget where I was going with that, to be completely honest. I think Covington, yeah, that's where we were going.
Covington.
I think with Oubre shooting inefficiently, Covington is a better defender still. He's got really active hands. He's got, you know, he can create a lot of loose balls still, despite not being as athletic. And, you know, even though he hadn't really shown it here in the brief stints that he played, I still trust the three ball. So, I don't know. I'd consider Covington over Oubre. So it would be nice to get him back and playing again. But the most promising is the fact that the Embiid news seems, we haven't really mentioned it, but the Embiid news seems promising. I wouldn't, you know, obviously you don't want your generational player that's had a history of injuries getting a meniscus injury, like that's, but as positive as you can get from that, where it looks like they're kind of hoping he's going to be back late March. That's everything. Yeah. That's good to hear.
It's right in time for that kind of last week or two of the regular season, amp up for playoffs. And I mean, yeah, he's got to get back in game shape. Obviously, got to make sure clearly he's healthy and ready to go. And he's never going to be 100%. Just that's the nature of the injury. But I mean, as he can get to 90 or 95%, whatever the number is, would be awesome, because they need him as much as possible out there for those playoff games. And I think he'll kind of get his conditioning back and probably play a few regular season games, and I think they'll space it out. He's not going to play a back-to-back or anything like that down the stretch, but
yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, they need him back. It's apparent. We've said it all podcast. We've said it all season long. The team goes and B goes. That's it.
Right. And since we're on to the more big picture side of things, I will say, because a lot of times, and I think this is just the nature of doing a podcast on the things, a lot of times we'll say something and then the next week we'll be like super positive. And I think that might be an instance this coming up. So we play the Hornets, the Mavericks, the Nets, and the Grizzlies next. And now, granted, I think the Mavericks are going to beat us, even if I don't really believe in them. But that could easily be 3 out of 4 wins. So Pelicans after that. Like we can win some of these games, maybe build some momentum. I mean, it's a tough schedule again after that. But I'm just saying, like, there's going to be some more positive vibes in Sixers land, I believe, after the next couple of games.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, obviously, their schedule has been very difficult as of late. They've played contenders and really good playoff teams consistently the past couple of weeks, or, you know, down their stretch. But and then it gets tough once again. But yeah, I mean, as long as they can just kind of hold the line, shout out Toto there, hold the line as we move down, you know, the schedule here, hopefully, yeah, they got to rack up some wins and really just stay afloat. Because what seed are they at right now?
They're the sixth seed right now. There are four teams with 33 wins. The Magic and the Pacers have an extra loss, so they're, you know, a half game behind them. But I would anticipate the Magic and the Pacers passing them, and then we'll see what happens if and when Embiid comes back. So it's unfortunate to be the eight seed, because that's going to be the Celtics, round one. But you never know. Like, the Magic could falter, the Pacers could falter. You know.
Now, well, but that's if you're playing. You're also the play-in, though.
No, for sure. Yeah, you'd be in the play-in. I mean, I think they're almost a lock to be in the play-in.
7, 8, 9, and 10 are in the play-in. So yeah, you gotta be a 1 through 6 seed to avoid the play-in.
Yeah,
that's right. Okay, Yeah, so I mean, I would agree with you at this
They're not
point.
going
I
to fall out
mean,
of the play-in, though. I mean, they're not going to be worse than the Bulls or the Hawks.
no, I agree. They're not going to. They're definitely being a play-in team, if not better. But yeah, hopefully they're the sixth seed at the worst. That would
Yeah,
be ideal.
we gotta really hope. Oh, I don't. I really think
My
they.
dream,
Yeah,
my
they're
dream,
gonna be
but
6-8, one of those, and
my
more
goal,
likely 8.
the goal here is that, like, because I'm looking at the teams at the top right now. Because the three would play the six. Let's say the Sixers somehow get, they avoid the play-in, they're the sixth seed, and then the Cavs drop down to three, ideally, instead
Yeah.
of the, I went on with the Bucks round one. That would be great. You get the Cavs round one, you know, whatever, it's away, obviously, since you're like the lowest
Anything
seed.
but the Celtics. I know you got to beat them eventually. Anything but the Celtics in the first
Agreed.
round. So you just got to avoid that 8 spot. So they really got to band together and at least get that 7 spot. I know you'd still be in the play-in, but you know, if you take care of business in the play-in, you're playing either the Cavs or the Bucks. And I know the Bucks have. I feel like the Bucks have fared fairly well against us. I just think we're better matchup with the Bucks. Also Doc Rivers. I got to see that.
Yep. Yeah, I do want to see that. It's prime time right there.
Right. But yeah, it's tough. I mean, on a scale of give me 1 to 10, like what's your level of optimism considering the circumstances? Like considering the Embiid
Yeah,
injury.
just overall the whole season where we're going, kind of just long term. I mean, it's changed obviously since B got injured, but I would say it's not dramatic where like I think we have zero chance of even contending. You know, I'm still confident. I would give the team like, I don't know, 10 being like most confident. I'd give myself like a, or, you know, the team like a seven. I
Yeah,
think a
I think I'm at a
seven-ish,
6 or 7,
right
to be
around
honest.
there. They're not, you know, if with Embiid playing and they're still, you know, kind of doing solid. If he was healthy, I would put us at probably like an 8.5, but we're probably at a seven. That's still positive on the positive note, despite the losses recently.
Yeah, like I do feel like we're just gonna see a different Buddy Hield and a different Sixers team whenever Embiid comes back. And yeah, assuming once again everything goes
Yeah.
smoothly there. Like we're gonna see a different Buddy Hield. It's gonna look great, I think. I know some people have complained that, or I shouldn't say complained, but like I think they're expecting Buddy Hield to be JJ Redick, and I think people just took for granted how insane of a shooter and quick of a trigger JJ Redick had. But Buddy does some other things. Like he's actually been really good at passing since he's been here, but that's
Yeah,
a
no,
brief aside.
buddy's been fine, totally fine, fine with everyone except Tobias can bench. Yep.
For sure. And you know, we briefly talked about the centers. I'll just leave with this. I don't think they're gonna get him, nor do I even really want him. But Mike Muscala was just bought out. Do you have any interest in reuniting with the Moose? I think it would be funny just because we have him, or we have
Having
Maxey
Maxie.
because of him.
Yeah, having Maxie the shot right there. Nah, I mean it'd be cool. Once again, like you said though earlier,
I think he's
bodies
going
at
to
this
OKC
by
because
this.
he used to play there and they're better.
That's true. That would be
And
cool
they
for
need
him.
bigs.
Yeah.
So I think he's
I
going
don't
there.
really Mike Muscala doesn't move the needle if he comes back,
Would
cool.
you
If
rather have
not,
him over Bamba or Paul Reed though? Because I wouldn't, but I think a lot people hate Bamba. I'm like the pro. I don't think he's amazing, to be clear. I
I
just
don't hate Mamba. I don't have a feeling to, I'm like, it's Mamba, right? Like if
he's
whatever. I
frustrating.
mean,
He's just not consistent. I think that's what pisses people
yeah,
off.
because he
Because
could be like but better.
he
Yeah,
should be so
could be.
much better. Because he obviously has the athleticism and the length and height,
He
everything
can
like that.
shoot.
And he
Yeah,
can
it's like
shoot.
what the
You
hell? Yeah.
would think he's going to be great, but for whatever reason, and yesterday was one of those games where he, whatever, turns it on for whatever reason, he starts, you know, out-muscling guys for rebounds using his length. And then he'll have other
Yeah.
games where the ball just bounces next to him and he like doesn't get his arms up. Like, yeah, I get it. It's frustrating, but I mean, that's a lot. I think Bamba's just a better Mike Muscala, to be honest. And you know, maybe that's a hot take,
Fair.
but
No, it's fair.
I thought
Yeah.
Muscala wasn't that great, to be honest. And we
I
don't
agree.
really need a third center. But yeah, I
We had
think
enough.
right. I think that's gonna wrap it up. We're pretty short and sweet pod, but we didn't have too many games to cover. And you know, I feel like we talk about trades all the time. And trade deadline's over, baby. So you know,
Yeah, it's all done.
we'll be back hopefully with more optimism after a couple wins in a little bit. But Malt, where can they find you?
As always, Sixers Mania on IG, hit us up. Feel free to drop some comments there. Per usual, we're pretty active on there, you know, posting and yeah, hopefully the Sixers can close this one out, man, and get some wins down the stretch of the season, which it really, hey, March is on, March 1st is Friday. So we're moving along here and soon enough will be April, which is playoff time, baby. Moving along.
That's right. So, I am cautiously optimistic and looking forward to the next, especially the next couple games where I think they're going to rack up some wins. And just, you know, keep seeing the team grow. Lowry is exciting to watch. You know, at least some newness to the team. So anyway, you can find me at Will Coffer on all social medias, and that'll be all. So thank you for listening. Until next time.